All right, very exciting today, episode 50. Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl. Cheers.
Cheers.
So today we have a very special guest, someone super near and dear to my heart, the Latoria Lemon.
Hey.
So,
please, Latoria, please, sorry.
So not only are you a big sister to me, mm-hmm. you are a mentor to me, yeah. you literally helped me get my start in my career, yeah. but you are so much more than that.
Yeah.
She is a business owner of a thriving PR company called Lemon Limelight Media with over 17 years in the industry. Mm-hmm. She's built incredible reputation for herself with stories, bringing stories to life and helping brands shine. She's worked with some of the biggest names in entertainment, from Travis Scott to Jamie Foxx, Beyonce, Drake, the list goes on. She's a 3-time Publicist of the Year, an HBCU grad, Clark Atlanta to be exact, top 40 under 40 honoree. Beyond PR, she's also the co-owner of several different businesses, and she's a business owner of several different things.
Yeah.
And also, more than anything, she's a Black woman dominating a male-dominated industry.
That part.
We bring to you Latoria. We're just so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here, girl. Who was that you introduced? Is that me? It sounds so nice and lovely.
She's
I love
too
it.
Pink.
Right.
Love it. Love it. So for those that may not know you, mm-hmm. I figured we would start the conversation off with some like fire question.
Okay.
So I have a few questions for you.
Uh-huh.
Given the fact that you are from Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. but you did go to school in Atlanta and right. you lived there a while,
mm-hmm.
there's this big Atlanta versus Houston.
Right.
So what's your answer to that? Atlanta or Houston, and why?
It's going to always be Houston for me. So I love Atlanta. Atlanta's like a second home. And even though I'm born and raised here, I like to say that I like grew up mentally in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Because I was young, I was 18, I was thriving. But I just feel like Houston is just, you can't compare Houston. Like, we're a culture of our own, from our music to our entertainment scene that's growing and blossoming. So home is where the heart is.
Yeah. You know, I agree. We talk so much, even though we're both not from Houston,
mm-hmm.
we speak so highly of it. And we mm-hmm. just say, like, we wouldn't know life without Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's a great place to live.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Coffee, cocktails, or hookah?
What is hookah? Never heard of it.
No?
Mm.
So, I mean, if you don't know about it, coffee or cocktails?
You know, I'm definitely a lemon drop type of girl.
Okay.
So, lemon drops over everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your signature.
Mm-hmm.
What's that song that gets you in a boss mood?
Anything Jeezy.
Oh, so she went with the, she went to Atlanta with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
She went the Atlanta route.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love anything from the trap. Right? Anything.
Speaking of which, let's segue mm-hmm. that question. Tell us about who you met, a really special person in your life recently. I think it's your favorite celebrity, but tell us how that experience was and who it was.
Oh, goodness. I know y'all signed an NDA, so it's okay. I'm kidding. Okay, so one of my girlfriends, Ashley Tillery, she started in the Houston market doing, like, producing TV shows and stuff. So she's always known who my ultimate favorite celebrity is. And so I was doing press in Atlanta for the Heart and Hustle show. And Ashley kept asking me, she was like, are you sure you're coming Thursday? And I was like, yeah, I'm coming Thursday. Like, what's going on? And she's like, okay. So then finally the night before, she was like, well, I have a surprise for you. And so I jokingly was like, oh, you got Jeezy? And she just put like, LOL. And so I didn't think anything else of it. And when I got to the TV station the next morning, Jeezy was there. And so she surprised me with like Jeezy on set and everything. And I just was like, okay. And it takes a lot for me to get like starstruck or anything like that. But I have literally been a Jeezy fan since 2004.
Wow.
When I was like a freshman in high school. And I even threw like a Jeezy party before where like all my friends, I had Jeezy. This was during COVID. I had Jeezy mask. I had snowmen everywhere, all over the house. It was hot outside, but all the snowmen was in the house. We had, you know, all types of fun Jeezy cookies and food and stuff. And so Jeezy, I love you. I do.
No, and I was so happy for you when you told me that, because I know if there's any celebrity that would remotely make you starstruck, it would be him. So
yes,
I'm so excited you got to meet him.
Thank you.
It's so special.
It is.
Last question. What is your guilty pleasure show? It could be like your just like trash TV show, whatever it may be. Like, what's that feel good show for you? What series?
Well, honestly, my favorite show is Love After Lockup, but I'm kind of scared to say that because recently the inmates have been writing me.
Oh, no way.
I swear to God. You want to see my blacklist?
Is it with the show?
Yeah, they've been looking at my journey on the show. Like, I kid you not, I've had to block the correction facilities. Hold on. Look, prison jail. Like, they're calling. Huh? They're legit calling.
How'd they get your phone number?
Miss Public.
Oh,
yeah. So they've been calling. Y'all, I like Love After Lockup. I'm not looking to be on Love After Lockup.
Yeah. Is that on the same network?
No.
That you're on? Oh, no.
Okay. Apparently, Heart and Hustle is like popular at the jails. Like, the inmates are legit watching.
Oh, my gosh.
Creepy.
And we're going to get into that later because I definitely want to hear so much about your journey with reality TV. I know it's something new for you. Yeah. So definitely excited to get into that. But that's so
Isn't it creepy? Like, I've had to block the
correctional facility.
Yeah. In real life. Like, if I wouldn't have showed you, I probably wouldn't believe. And they've been writing letters too.
What?
They got like, it's.
And they're spending their little coins to call because calling ain't free.
It's not free, but I never accept the call. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They be having cell phones in there though, so surprise.
Cuckoos.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. They cuckoo.
So let's get into your career, your business, and just representation. So can you tell us what inspired you to start your own public relations company?
So I started my PR company when I was 21 years old, like fresh out of college. While I was in college, I interned and worked at like two different agencies. So shout out to 135 PR agency and then Oat Behavior, which that's my mentor Stacy's company. And so just with all the experience that I was having and I was working with just a plethora of talent, it kind of got to a point where people start like reaching out to me and saying, hey, you know, we want to work with you. And it was like people that may not be able to work or be represented by high-end agency at that time. But I knew that I could kind of get my feet wet as a business owner. So, yeah, and the rest is kind of history. It was all accidental. I never even knew what PR was, you know? Like, when I left Houston to go to Atlanta, my goals were to study radio, TV, film. And things kind of shifted my sophomore year. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the biggest misconception when it comes to what PR is?
I think these days, and I'm learning the new slangs and stuff for PR because, like, I had a young lady recently tell me, like, you know, I really want to be a publicist. I was like, okay, what makes you want to be a publicist? And she goes, I just love to see people with their PR boxes. And I was like, girl. Like, honey,
you don't need a publicist for that.
You don't. Like, I said, oh, girl. I said, but do you know how to write? Like, you know how to pitch? Do you know how to, you know, create a campaign? And I think that a lot of people think, and I want to really clarify because, one, what I'm doing in PR and then also in TV is very abnormal. Most publicists don't normally come from behind the scenes to do anything in front of the scenes. And so I think that there's been some people that's kind of seen my journey and probably think, oh, well, if I'm a publicist, I could do this, and this. That's not typically how it goes. Like, a lot of this is relationship built. It's also personality built. I've always been a person with a big personality, like always. And so But I've always been respectful with my personality in the sense of I know when there's an on and off switch. Like when it's about my clients, it's all about them. You don't have to worry about me. Even now, like, so I think that people think that it's meant to be a influencer type job for you. And that's really not how it typically goes. It's typically straight up behind the scenes.
Right. So, that's actually crazy that they are thinking it's like influencer marketing now.
That's insane. A lot of people think that. And it's totally opposite. Like I remember the PR girls in Atlanta when I first started, they would be like, so listen, if y'all want to be in public relations, like you are not to get on the red carpet. You are not to do, like, that's all about your client. And so I think for me, because I've been doing it for so long, there was like a bit of a shift that took place because people were more intrigued about my business and how I was able to build a business from the ground up with all, you know, with celebrity clientele and stuff, aside from me doing PR. And so that kind of gave me a avenue to be able to tell my story. But for years, like, there were so many years, like even being on a podcast, like I would deny it because I never wanted to do anything that, you know, took away from my client shine. But I also feel like God knew, like I left Houston to do radio, TV, film. Mm-hmm. And somehow I was placed behind the scenes with PR, but God was like, I ain't forgot about you. Like you still have a personality. I still want you to be able to share your story. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we talk about this where your journey just does not, it's not a direct path. Mm-hmm. Like it literally does not, like a lot of times God has you take the roundabout way, you know, you'll still get there, but it's just not going to at all look at what, like what you thought it was going to.
Like his GPS is so different than ours.
He gives you the scenic route.
Absolutely. It's like, it's like, oh, okay. I didn't know we was taking it here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. But you know, again, and I think it's also a testament to patience because, again, my goal was radio, TV, film. And I grew up, a lot of people don't know this, but I grew up in like pageants and I did commercials. Like my dentist, I was in his commercial growing up. I had braces for like 30 years, like teeth crook as hell. But, you know, but those are things that I did growing up as a child. And so I also did radio as a child. I was the youngest radio personality in Houston, you know. And so all those things kind of shaped me. And then God put me in the path to where for 17 years I've been doing PR. But it's now like, hey, I still got a space for you for what your calling was. So
how does your PR brain, your PR knowledge affect the way you show up on camera, or does it not?
So that's a very great question. And so I think most people that know me know that I'm Latoria no matter where I'm at. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, even like I've watched the show as like a fan and not like a publicist or a castmate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm just like laughing, like, girl, that's so you. Like that, like, girl, only you would say that. Like, how did you come up with that? You know? Or then there's times where I'm like, I said that. I forgot I said something. And so I don't necessarily think that my PR brain turned on or off. I just more so think it was me being me, which consisted of having integrity, having wit. I've always been witty. Like I went to a big high school. Like it was 5,000 people at our high school. And I was literally voted. It was 1,300 people at my senior class. Like,
oh God, I had like 200.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I wish it was a bunch of us. Like we had a big class and I was, you know, I'm just like how I am now. I was involved. I was class president. I was voted most witty. Like I've always been just like a personable person. And so I think for me, it's just about being myself. And that's just what I've enjoyed doing. Now, granted, sometimes they edit stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you that. I think for me, when I think of reality TV, it's like, you know who you are. Right. And you show up authentically as yourself. Right. But how do you think that was portrayed on the show?
I think there was a lot of the season that it was like, okay, like here's what keeps me grounded. And this will always keep me grounded is keeping people around me that know me, right? Like, so if you know me, like I had one of my girlfriends, it was one episode, she called me and she was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have asked her that. And I don't think that's like what you've done in our friendship. And I was like, okay, I can understand that. And so it was kind of one of those things where it was like a nice way of saying, girl, don't do that no more. Mm-hmm. You know, right. But again, I get it and I understand it. But that goes back to, again, keeping people around you that know you and things of that nature. And then I have so many people that's like, girl, watch this. And I'm like, how can they not see you were joking? Like, you were definitely joking. Like, that was your person. That's your personality. Or, right. You know, you mean no harm. Like, I never walk into any situations with an intent to harm or hurt. That's not it. I'd rather see you laugh. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, there's just no way that you're going to show, they're going to portray you as who you really truly are 110%.
Well, I think a part of it is a gamble. So going into this, one of my primary reasons of doing the show is because, one, my love for Houston is, I can't deny it, right? And I don't think I can deny my hustle either, right? Like, I'm always just, again, a go-getter. And so with all those things, it was like, okay, this makes sense. And then I also evaluated the production team and the network. Both have great reputations in the industry. And so once I did that, I also looked at the element of, there is a portion of this that's meant to entertain. And so that's the value of keeping a show going. Like, we could sit there, we chime, all of us, all six of the girls, we cried probably more than we ever did. Mm-hmm. But then we also understood that, okay, as we're giving them a portion of our life, they have to put the story together. Mm-hmm. And so that takes a lot of trust. I mean, there was plenty of days where I was like, Lord, you got me. Like, make sure, you know, I'm not out here looking crazy. I wanted to be very honest with my story. Yes, I'm a single woman. Yes, I'm successful. But as I said on the show, I'm single. I'm not desperate, though. Like,
never that.
Yeah, never that. Like, even while I was filming the show, I had options, right? And so even after filming the show, even now I got some options.
Hello. Yes.
Okay. All right. All over the world. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, that was important for me to portray. And then I also think representation is key. And I really hadn't seen a woman that looks like me on TV. Right. Like, I'm all me. I'm from personality to. No matter if I decide next week I'm going to open up a new business, there's women out here all the, you know, every week, like, okay, what, how's my ambition going to work? And That's just been me. I'm a dog mom. Y'all saw Wendy on the show cutting up. This Wendy's god mama, by the way. Like, baby, Wendy cut up so bad.
I loved her on the show. Me and mama were like, yes, Wendy cut up.
And went viral. She went viral on TikTok. I didn't even know she was viral. Somebody seen, they was like, ain't this your dog? Oh, I said, oh my God. And I'm trying to show her, and Window looking like, girl, where's my treats? Like, I'm like, girl, you have broken up the country. Like, what is going on? So, but yeah, but I think that, you know, being myself, that's all I know how to do. You know, and I will say this forever and a day, our production team, from our producers to just the production company, they let us go. Like, meaning we would come and whatever we wanted to talk about, that's what we talked about amongst each other. There was never like, hey, Latoria, so here's your script for the day. And I think people that know me know, like, I don't do riffraff. I don't do foolishness, you know, and even with some surprise guests that was on the show, like, don't do it. Yeah. Grab my purse and left.
Yeah. And honestly, watching the show, the way I thought it was interesting, the way you handled certain conflicts. Like, I remember there were some points in the show where there was conflict at the table and you literally got your purse and you left.
Left. Because one, let me be very clear. We were filming at Mocha. That's my client. Like, this is my bread and butter. Like, that's number one and number two. Number three, I wasn't feeling it. Like, I was not feeling it. And when I tell you, walked on off and, baby, here you go, take it off. Where's my keys to my car? Like, I'm ready to go. Like, because I just don't do that. It takes a lot for me to have conflict. And I've always been that way. Like, I'm easygoing, happy-go-lucky. But sometimes people would try you. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, that was a person on the show who was willing to go from zero to 100. And I just wasn't willing to go there with you. Like, I got too much to lose.
And we were just talking about that the last episode about, you know, things that we're no longer tolerating now that we're,
yeah,
have recently turned 30. And that's what we were talking about, is allowing people to get you out of character, because a lot of times those people don't have anything to lose.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I mean, so for me, it's always like I work in an industry where it's always conflict. I handle conflict for a living. Like, I'm always solving people's problems and things of that nature. So oftentimes I let a lot of stuff like just roll, like, all right, cool. Or hey, here's the solution to it. But I've even realized recently, like, everything doesn't have a resolve. And that's the unfortunate thing. Sometimes people won't understand or respect your heart. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was like, dang, there was a situation that I was recently involved in, and I know I gave it my absolute all. And the person was like, but you didn't do this. I'm like, but I did 5 million things. And the one thing I did not do is what you're going to hold on to. And so it just made me realize, like, be cautious of giving your all and giving your heart to everything. Some people don't genuinely deserve it. Some people don't even want it. So let me say this real quick, because a lot of times I write down my quotes. I've learned to journal just through my process. And I was writing something down the other day, and it said, this is what I wrote. This is my quote. I was trying to take people with me who didn't even want me to go. So if you don't want me to go, no wonder you wasn't trying to go with me. So, and that just kind of opened up my eyes a lot. And it just, like, literally this whole week, I've just been on a decompress mode of just, okay, getting any toxins out. Because I'm around a lot of energies. A lot. Too many sometimes. Clients, people, you know, I mean, it's a lot. So sometimes you just have to unplug, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one thing that we talk about on this podcast a lot is just, you know, as black women, we have to work twice as hard. So when it comes to you, not only being a black woman, but working and operating in such a male dominated industry, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I would be lying to say that it hasn't had its tough moments. You know, and granted, again, going back to, I'm always me wherever I am. Sometimes to some people who are in a dark space, your light offends them. You know, I've worked with some managers, and mind you, again, do entertainment PR. So on most cases, your publicist and your manager are each other's counterparts, right? So if we're working with the artists, management and PR works hand in hand. I've had some managers that were just completely ugly, like thinking I want their job. And I'm like, baby, my job is more than enough. Me wanting yours, like, I don't want any, I want us to be able to work together. But again, I work very organized. Ashton's worked with me. I keep track of everything. Like, I run a tight ship. And when you come into a space where somebody may be used to clutter, they may be used to just operate in any type of way, they look at what you bring to the table as competition. It's like, come on, idiot. Like, in competition, like, this gonna help everybody. So, but I've learned that in a male dominated industry, which is entertainment and hospitality, those are both two industries that I work in, staying your ground. I've learned to find a space to stand up for myself, for my brand, and for what I know is right. There's a reason that there's artists that I worked with for 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years, because they trust me. They know that even, you know, even in the midst of me saying, like, no, I don't see that happening, they know I mean well. They know that it's not like, oh, I'm trying to rain on their parade. One of my friends was laughing because Slim Thug's birthday was not too long ago, and we have such a dynamic relationship. He's been a client with me for like 9 years. But we joke, we laugh, but we can be serious with each other. And so on his birthday, I posted a clip of like, we were doing a charity event and somebody came over to me and they was like, girl, Slim down there doing interviews with a drink in his hand. And I was like, what? I said, where is he? And so I look and sure enough, he just a talking and a drink with the drink in his hand. And it's a charity event. So I went down there and I took the drink. And so after he's done with the interview, he go, where's my drink? Like, what? So you can't be doing interviews with the drink in your hand? Right. And he goes, why? And I said, because I said so. And I just walked off. And so somebody was like, he wasn't mad at you. I said, no, because he knows I have your best interest. Mm-hmm. I want you to shine no matter what space you're in. And I don't ever want nobody to prejudge. I mean, I know he's king of the shade room, but I don't want to. No, you know. Yeah, we'll just leave it there. What's that all that to say? I'm going to always have your best interest. And so if I'm in the space, I feel like I'm supposed to be there. And there's been some projects, even Ashley, you've worked with us on plenty of projects that we all as a team was looking at each other like, how the hell did we get this project? Like, how? And I don't want to get emotional, but we did George Floyd funeral service. Mm-hmm. Not just one, not just all four. Mm-hmm. Though that was like 9 days of like, we didn't sleep. There were times where I had to call her and say, hey, I'm sorry for yelling. Like it was because we're not just dealing with something local. Like this is the biggest story in the world.
Literally, there was people in other countries protesting for his death.
Everybody. There were people that called our phones who didn't even speak English. Yeah. And we're trying to communicate with them. And we're like, well, what media outlet? And they're not even a media. They're just wanting to talk because they're, you know, they're so heavy. And so we're having conference calls at 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, I mean, we're used to doing happy stuff. Like we've done fun projects. We've traveled the world together, you know, and here we are like doing this. I mean, I still to this day don't even have all the words for it because it's still just so unbelievable. Like God trusted us with something that humongous. And there's times where I think like, okay, what's my purpose? And then I think about George Floyd. I think about how we came together. The guy, Justin, we were on the phone. It was like 5 of us, maybe 6. But that's a small team compared to people that do huge funerals. Like most of the presidents get like big funerals, like, you know, and it's multiple cities and stuff. You don't just hear of, you know, something like this. And we were, I mean, all day long. We were on our phones, we were emailing, we were talking to city officials. We were at one point Joe Biden's team called me and I was on the phone with them. And it was just like by the time we got done, and it's so crazy how God works. Because during back me up if I'm lying, during the funeral service, the last funeral service of George Floyd, I get a call. And it's in the middle of the funeral service. And I go to Ashlyn and somebody else from our team. I was like, get your stuff. Hurry up. Get your stuff. Ashlyn's like, what's going on? What's happening? And kid you not, it's Jamie Foxx's team. They're like, we need you guys to put together a press dinner for us in the next hour and a half. We were like, what is going on? Like this is, and at first I thought I was being punked. And in that same moment, again, nothing but God. In the same moment, I get a text from someone from Beyonce's team saying, hey, I just referred you all to Jamie Foxx. Please be on it. And I'm like, say less. And we put it together. And it just, by the time that entire thing was done, like we went and got hookah. And we just was like,
we did.
We were
not,
like,
not a lemon drop hookah.
Both.
Right.
What? We did. Yeah. We had both.
Drinks and hookah always.
Drinks and hookahs for sure. But we literally was just looking at each other like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, huh? We go from 9 days, no sleep or nothing to automatically getting a call from Jamie. And it wasn't just Jamie Foxx. We pulled up to the dinner. It's Jamie Foxx, Channing Tatum, Tank, Trayvon Martin's mom. It's like, right. It's like real deal. like stuff that you can't make up. And to this day, we have an ongoing joke. Like, Jamie Foxx was the funniest person we ever
in met. Real life.
He's funny in real life.
Like, really? I was shocked.
And he's hilarious. Natural. Oh, natural.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're dying.
There was a person on our team that, on our extended team, who had on some attire, and he went to take a picture with Jamie Foxx. And so he sucked it in. Jamie said, let all that go. The shirt was so tight. Jamie said, He was clocking it before we start. He said, let all that go. Yeah. He said, let it go. Let it go. When I tell you, we were on the ground laughing, like, but it's stuff like that, that it's a reminder, nothing but God, mm-hmm. nothing but God. So, and if I never do PR ever again a day in my life, I'll forever be the proudest of that moment. Mm-hmm. Like that, those 9 days, like, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like when it comes to your projects, I think some people strive and want these type of opportunities so much, mm-hmm. but it's like, do you feel as though, is it the work? Is it faith? Or is it just luck?
I truly don't believe in luck. I do believe in faith. I believe in hard work. And I believe in relationships, you know, like, there's people that have remembered the work that we've done from years ago that will call and say, hey, I remember going to such and such event that y'all did, and I want to hire you for a project. I don't do a lot of, and this isn't a bragging moment at all, but I've been blessed to not have to submit a lot of proposals. A lot of our work has been by referral. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's a testament to the people that are around us. Because again, if you've ever worked with us, it's a tight ship. It's a very tight ship. But we have so much love on our team. We will laugh. We will cry. And like I said, we've traveled the world. We've had some moments where we just had to stop and be like, okay, like, I decided to take the staff several years ago to Miami on a trip. I thought I was feeling really good as a boss. I was like, we've worked so hard. I want to just take y'all to Miami. We had rented a boat. Well, we thought we rented a boat, but it was like a community boat. It was a community boat. And so, you know, we're on the boat. They're like, oh, and to your right, J-Lo's house, you know, to your left, DJ Khaled and everything. So we're like, yes, we're taking pictures. And then the boat is slowing down. And so I'm like, oh, they about to show us something good.
Don't tell me it stops.
The engine was all the way behind us. The engine of the boat fell out. Am I lying? Like, I can't make this up. So I'm like, okay. Okay. And the driver, I don't even want to call him captain. He's not a captain. Right. The driver, he said, everything's okay. Somebody's going to come rescue us. We're like, rescue? We're in the middle of the ocean in Miami. So after all that is said and done, we're like, you know, we're just going to go back to the hotel and have some cocktails. Yeah. We need to clear our mind. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Hookah was next on the list. The hotel is a whole crime scene when we walk in. Somebody had died. It was so much going on.
Like, what?
No, literally. Someone died.
It was, I don't even remember. It was nice, but it was like literally a crime scene.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this nice little trip I thought I planned for everybody is just down the drain.
No, it was crazy. And it made me think we were there. I'm like, that's crazy because you don't realize when we're at these hotels, people potentially could have died in these rooms just sleeping in them.
Yeah. Sleeping, yeah. It was a whole thing. A whole thing. And the chef at the hotel looked just like President Obama.
No, he did. It was crazy. Talk like him in every mannerisms.
Everything.
And he was just the omelet maker. Like, but my God, those almonds were so good.
Oh, it was so good. We was still in a couple.
Yeah, but no, that's crazy. He really did look like Obama.
He did. Twins.
Let's see, yeah. Latoria. Let's get back to some questions.
Okay.
being in a male-dominated field. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about just corporate life and whatever, mm-hmm. and how do you balance your strengths and your softness? So yeah. being a boss and in a male-dominated field, like, how do you, and I guess, is it like taking your team on trips and showing that appreciation? Like, how do you remain in your softness, or mm-hmm. how do you turn it on and off, you know?
Yeah. I've had to make sure my softness doesn't come off as a weakness.
Great.
Because people are so easy to feel like, oh, she's nice, she's sweet, she's funny. Mm-hmm. She must be dumb.
Right. No,
or
seriously.
She must be naive, or she must be one to play with.
Yeah.
And even recently, I had a situation where, you know, someone thought they could yell at me and they met their match. Mm. And it was like, I rarely even go there with people, but I'm a woman and I'm a strong woman. Like, the softness that I give off, I'm naturally nurturing. I'm naturally nice, but I'm not to be played with. And don't ever think that I've gotten this far in life just by being a weak little wuss. You got the wrong one on the right day. Like, that's just the fact of the matter. And even when it comes to guys, I mean, again, entertainment is a predominantly male-dominated industry. So you get guys that will see, oh, she's nice, she's sweet. They'll try to try you mentally, physically, yeah. emotionally, even spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I have to stand my grounds. Like, this not... I don't know what you're used to, but this is not it. And so sometimes in having softness, you got to be an egg. An egg is hard sometimes until you open it up and get to the soft part. So that's just what it is. Like, when I come into a room, I'm not meant to be like, oh, she'll don't little dog me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not here for that. Like, and I'm a Gemini.
I mean, I don't know. The people say y'all a little bipolar.
They are you know a June or a May?
So I'm a June, but I'm on the cusp of Gemini and Cancer. I will say, yeah. So I'm June 19th.
Because I wasn't getting full Gemini.
Yeah, I'm on energy. The cusp. Yeah. So, and granted, I think that my Gemini rarely comes out, and I try to preserve her.
Yes.
I do. Because she can go there. And so, God rest my dad's soul, but he used to say something. He used to be like, ooh, don't let her get ignorant. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And it's very rare because she can go. And I'm really trying to save you from not meeting her.
To be honest, that's a Cancer thing.
Is it?
yeah.
Y'all get a little ignorant too?
It's we're very nice and can show grace and have a lot of patience. But once you get to that point,
right,
it's not just a matching energy. Like, you can really hit below the butt. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I think it's just summer babies. Maybe yeah. that's what we'll say, yeah. summer babies. Because again, why test somebody? You know, like, I would love to just be mellow, fun, all this. But everybody can't receive that. Mm-hmm. There's some people that is not used to dealing with light at all. Mm-hmm. Darkness is where they're the most comfortable. Chaos is where they're the most comfortable. And so it's like, oh, who do you think she is?
Well, and they're threatened by the light. Yeah, I was supposed to say.
Threatened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, baby, if you don't go get you a ring light.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. No, but for real, though.
Seriously.
Well, in Ashlyn's favorite words, she'll say, like, that's a demon.
No, seriously.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. That's,
I'm like, no, that's
you,
a demon.
You have to. People really be having demonic spirits.
Yes.
Like, demonic spirits. Like, and I don't want to get too deep, but I can look on some people's social media page and see the demons. Mm-hmm. I can see it. Mm-hmm. You're covering up something. Mm-hmm. You are trying to paint this picture of who you really are. Aren't to your core. Yeah. Baby, be who you are to your core.
Right.
And if that means you need to take your ass to therapy and get some healing,
yeah,
come on. Have perfect attendance in therapy. I know I do. Child, I could get the Nobel Peace Award for going to therapy, but I do that because, for one, I'm an advocate for therapy because I hold so many people's problems in, from clients to anytime there's something that goes wrong, I'm the first person people call. Mm-hmm. And so, one, that takes a lot of confidentiality. Two, it's like, dang, I didn't talk to this person for 3 hours, and any little bit of electricity that I had, I gave it to them so that they could keep going. Now I'm depleted. So now I have to get my mind back right. Or now I have to take a day and just, you know, so, and I don't think people realize that therapy is meant to really be helpful for you. Like, that is my electricity.
And what would you say for you? Like, because we talk about therapy, we're mm-hmm. both in therapy, Blake definitely more than I am for sure, and has been for years. So what would you say to someone that maybe is like afraid to start therapy, or they're like, I don't know if I want to be vulnerable in that way. What mm-hmm. are some of those things that you would tell someone, the reasons why I think you should give it a try? And this is why.
I think there's questions that you have to ask yourself. One, do I want to be better? Two, do I want to do better? Three, do I truly know who I am?
Heavy on the third. Heavy. That's right. A lot of people's problems.
Heavy. Yeah, it's right. So heavy, because it's like you take all that you may have experienced, and then you also take what was learned behavior, right? Whether it was, oh, Big Mama taught us this growing up, and then you got older and you're like, Big Mama kind of lied.
It did.
Yeah, Big Mama didn't know nothing that was going on. I love her, but she, you know, like, who was teaching Big Mama, you know? So you take all those things and it's like, dang, like, I've lived a life where I've adapted and adjusted to the people who may have raised me, or my family or my teachers or whatever. And now I don't really know my true path, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have so many people that are just lost in every way, because they're not willing to be committed to self. Get committed. Like, yeah, is therapy gonna bring out some, baby? I've had times in therapy where I'm like, I don't have enough Kleenex. Like, and I've found a therapist who just understands and who's quick to say, now, Latoria, I let you get it out, but that's not the way to go. Or this is, you know, so holding me accountable, being fair, being understanding. And, you know, again, sometimes finding a therapist is like dating. You may not get the right one the first time. Please don't get discouraged, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, keep going. You need it. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go to the dentist to get our teeth fixed. We'll go get veneers. We'll go get all these things. We're fixing everything but our soul. That's crazy to me. There's no BBL for yourself.
You cannot.
You can.
You cannot, yeah. Mm-mm. That is one that surgery will not do it.
It won't do it. Columbia is not going to help you.
Not for that one.
Not for that one.
Dr. Mm-mm. Miami.
Ain't going to help. Ooh, especially him.
Mm-hmm. Now I know you've dealt with a lot of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think in the last, what, maybe 3 years?
Yeah, like five.
5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for you, when it comes to therapy, how would you say you've been able to heal with just the grief and the loss of so many people that have been close to you?
Yeah.
From family to clients, mm-hmm. your father.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, we have grief.
Right.
And I think therapy can help with that.
Right. Absolutely. So again, in my transparency, and I talked about this a lot on the show. Some was seen, some was not seen. But I, in 5 years, like, I've lost close to 10 people. My sister, my older sister, Adria, which I have my breast cancer finger for her. She passed of breast cancer. Yep. She passed in 2020. Obviously, and my older sister, Adria, was my best friend. I was her baby. That was my girl. And so when she passed, it was just like, okay, like, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I thought at that time, like, that was the worst that could happen to me. You know, I'm like, oh my God. And I also lost my client, Jay Renee, and she was killed in a drunk driving accident. And she was my baby. You know, my family had took her in and we would hang out and everything. And she was only 19. And then I lost, like, Beat King, and I lost Chauncey, who was a best friend of mine. I lost my dad. Like, so I've lost And I've lost, you know, other people too, but I've lost so many people that I just truly loved and that were genuine souls and that meant a lot to me. And I think that people's expectation is that, okay, well, you know, after the funeral, like, you know, she'll get through it. It's a lot for one person, you know, it's a lot and I wear it well, but therapy has helped me identify what my grief journey is, because there's been times within the past 5 years before I can even get through one grief, I'm on to something else, you know? And every client that passed from B King to J Renee to Big Pokey, like these are all people that I love. I also did their funerals. I did my dad's funeral. I did Adria's funeral. So I've had to take on roles within the process of losing them. And it's tough. And so to be in an industry where my job is to give and give and give and give and give and to pour and pour and pour, it's like there's been times where my glass looked like y'all's, like empty, or where I'm here and even though I'm have this much in my glass, there's still 17 people that wants me to pour just a drop in their glass so that they can have some too. And there's been times where I've had to say, like, I don't think people realize, like, I'm just trying to make it through life. I'm just trying. And even with the show, like, and I posted about this. I said, you know, I was very transparent on the show. I was myself as well. But being on a show, I mean, that opens up different people's views and perspectives. Like, and I didn't go on it and say, oh, everybody pick me and I want to be liked. Like, that's not me. I've never been that girl. But what I do know is, you know, there's people that will poke fun at you. I've been called fat. I've been called the ugly one on the cast. I'm like, ugly. Who said that? You know, like what? But again, people have perspectives. And because there's people that hasn't seen representation like me on the show, maybe they've never seen a plus size woman that's living in her truth and just rocking it. So to them, that's abnormal. To me, it's like, baby, this has been this way 36 years. I was born plus size. Shit, I was probably 20 pounds, 7 ounces when I was born. Okay. But again, I'm navigating through life. I don't have a blueprint. I don't have a book to show me how this is supposed to go. I'm simply a person that's trying. And in the midst of trying, I pray that my story helps somebody else because it's not the easiest, you know? So, yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's about the people that you are helping and or inspiring and not right. the trolls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trolls gonna always be there because some of these people will never say anything negative in my face. Or ever. Some. Most.
99%.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that too. It's just like, it's very easy to sit at home on your phone, or as my boyfriend would say, they're sitting on their bed on their back with eating stuff in their face, leaving negative comments, exactly. Not doing anything,
nothing,
not getting out of their comfort zone. Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, you're putting yourself out there on national TV.
Exactly. So. And I'm like, you know, and granted, I haven't gotten a lot of troll stuff because I really try not to like look at the YouTubes and the blogs and stuff like that. Because it's stuff I tell my clients not to do. Like, don't go looking for it. Like, live your truth. Nobody's coming on my page saying an ignorant. Because if so, y'all gonna go to the block party, okay?
Period.
VIP access to the block party.
Y'all definitely are both big blockers.
Expedited entry.
Oh, honey, my block list right now is at 736.
Yeah. No, same.
Might be 37. Gosh. Oh, I mean, because one, I don't do fake pages. Like, I really wish Instagram would go do that purge again that they did like years ago.
Yeah.
Because the moment I see a page that follows 18,000 people, but you got 2 followers blocked. Like,
No, watch my story with, I'm petty like that. Like, I literally will block a fake page. Cause like, yeah. Reveal yourself.
No, seriously. Who are you? Like, what's up? Why you don't have no avatar? Why you don't have no profile picture?
Because they be in those stories.
They be in it. I mean, come on. Like, I'm done with that. So I try to tune out noise. I really do. And for my own sanity and also for my own safety. Like, I don't have time to entertain all that stuff. I pour too much into the world to want to go look for negativity and try to digest that, child, please.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And with you having to just take on so much from, you know, like pouring into your clients and your family and your friends and just your busy work schedule and mm-hmm. balancing multiple businesses, we always talk about balance. Mm-hmm. How do you balance yeah. everything?
It's been something that I've had to learn because as a go-getter, as a natural born hustler, my first job was at 9. I haven't stopped working since I was 9.
Sheesh.
I know. Like, I've always found something to do. And even if that was like, girl, I'm in 19th grade and all the girls are coming to my house to get the hair done. Like, okay, cool. But for me, I think I'll use this week as an example. I felt last weekend like, okay, I need a breather. Like, I've been going. Even filming the show, right? Filming the show, we filmed from February until like July. And sometimes those were 8 to 10 hour days. And I still have other businesses to run. So I'm in between sets where everybody else is on lunch or whatever. And I'm trying to operate this. I got an event that night. And so my sleep pattern was all off. So it was like, oh, nap when you can, go get a Celsius or whatever and call it a day. And this week, like, I felt like my body was like, girl, you ain't 24 no more. Like, you need to rest. And so that's what I've been doing, is resting this week, exercising my rights for do not disturb.
Yes.
Exercising. Because the world's still going to go on. Like, at the end of the day, I'm learning, don't let these people stretch you, and damn sure don't let them kill you. Because, baby, they'll replace you. That's just what it is. So
expeditiously.
Expeditiously. Yeah. That.
You are replaceable.
And I think, you know, when it comes to balance, like, I'm in the process now of trying to figure out like a trip to take. And I know you travel a lot. You travel a lot, Blake. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a thing. This year, I haven't been able to be in my travel bag because of course, with the show, like, we're committed, you know, within those months that we film, they could call me at any given moment and say, hey, we need you to film. And I'm obligated to. So going out of town was not like a thing. Because if they call me, I needed to be there. So I'm thinking of, you know, a trip to take. I'm also, again, if there's times where I feel like I need to close my laptop, then I do that. Whereas there used to be a time, baby, I wasn't closing her. Like, I needed to get everything done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've known you for, mm-hmm. gosh, I think almost 10 years at
That's
this
crazy. Point. Yeah.
And I know there was a point in time where I'm like, you're literally not sleeping because you're emailing and texting us at literally 1-2 in the morning. And then I'm still seeing messages from you at like 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Latoria did not sleep last night.
I didn't. There were plenty of nights. Yeah. And that wasn't, I mean, I think it was so much. And thank you for saying you're proud of me. I think there was just a time where it was like, my brain wouldn't stop. It's like, how do you rest? Like, I would lay my head on the pillow and thinking I would get some sleep, but I'm not resting. I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, I didn't do payroll. Or, oh, I did payroll and got somebody extra zero. Sorry. I had to pull a Stacey. Hey, can you send that back? You know, so it was like, okay. And then I think it's moments like that that made me say, have a moment, you know? And then it's also moments where, like I said earlier, we're recently realizing that sometimes what I bring to the table is my absolute best and there's no gratitude for it. Mm-hmm. And that made me say, at 36 years old, let me reevaluate some things. Because maybe I have some people and some energy around me that's committed to taking. And they don't care how they get it, why they get it, or when they get it. But as long as they get it from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's real.
Yeah, it is. It makes you think. It does. And that made me say, oh, baby, let me give some of that to me.
Yeah.
Like, I deserve me too. If I'm giving so many pieces and parts of me to others and there's no gratitude, oh no, like, mm-mm. I'm not about to argue with you about not wanting to communicate, not wanting to show up to stuff on time. I'm going to go ahead and cut it off. Done. I got the time. So
I think that's good that you've learned how to, because we talk about that a lot on here, is we always say like, no is a complete sentence.
It is.
Like, no.
No.
I'm just not doing that.
Mm-hmm. You don't owe anybody an explanation either.
Right.
If my no is that bad, go find you a yes somewhere else. Simple. You don't need my yeses when you can go find it somewhere else.
Right.
Bye.
Let's see what else I have for you.
Okay.
We wrap.
I'm having such a good time.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
Let's see. So on the show, I know they explore your dating life.
Yeah.
So let's kind of like get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question to you is, we see you had a few like dating experiences, you know, a few guys that you saw, you know, while you're out at the rodeo, things of that nature. And some yeah. guys I've never seen before. I was like, I've never seen that man. Anyway, so my question to you is, did any of those love interests grow further since the show?
Who said it was love?
I seen some twinkles in your eye.
Oh, I'm just naturally brown eyed. Those are contacts.
Cut it out.
Beauty supply. No, I'm kidding. to be honest, no. So the guy from the rodeo, Devin, I think that was just like a rodeo kick. Like I saw him last night on TV doing the breaking news because he works at KPRC. I mean, he looked very nice at the rodeo. I hadn't seen him look that way before because he's normally in like a suit or something like that, and so kind of caught my eye. But I'm smart enough to know if somebody interested in me or not. Like when a man is interested, he's gonna pursue. Like Devin never pursued a date or anything, and I'm fine with that. Trust me, Devin, I'm fine. Trust me, I promise, pinky promise. Like but you know, that was just a thing. I'm glad he got some camera time. He actually sent me a message a couple months ago saying that his DMs were flooded.
Whoa. The fact it works like that is crazy.
I was like, I hadn't heard from you in months. This is how you come
yeah,
back.
You say you're yeah. welcome.
Yeah. Well, actually I texted him and I said, okay, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And he was just like, LOL. I was like,
Jesus.
Okay.
So that's Devin. And I think the other guy, one of the ladies on the cast has set me up with her friend who was a lot a bit older than me.
I thought that too. I was yeah. like, okay. I don't know if she liked him this seasoned.
I never had a seasoned saint like that. No, but best wishes to him. I know he really loves horses and maybe he has found him a horse.
Please. So I feel like, you know, something I wonder with you, it's like, I know you working in such a male dominated industry and you have all these accolades and clearly you're a successful woman.
Right.
And I know that men can be potentially intimidated by you.
Yeah.
I just have like a random question. Like, what are some of the crazy things that men tell you when it comes to like you and your work and your success? When it comes to dating you, because I know you get some wild DMs
yeah.
or comments.
Absolutely. And so I think that goes back to what I mentioned earlier. One, not desperate, but two, it's not like there's not options, right? Like I don't think I'm an ugly woman. I think, you know, I bring some great things to the table. I've had guys to say, you know, are you interested in a very big man. I can't make this stuff up.
It's true, because huh? I know your DMs are popping.
Oh, yeah.
The show.
They pop. They definitely. So wow. This guy says, hi, I be watching your show on OWN. Are you single and do you like big guys?
Mm, click on this page.
Oh, humongous.
No, you just jumped. I wasn't ready. You didn't even let me get into it.
I couldn't. It was like a. I said, wow. Kudos for confidence.
Yes.
You know,
he shot it.
It's still dribbling somewhere, but he shot it. I've had guys to reach out and say, you know, I feel like, you know, you could help me with my music. And then when I say, okay, well, is this a business inquiry? Or I just want a little clarity. And then they said, oh, well, I could just take you to dinner. The price of dinner is different than a retainer's fee for PR. It's so different. So, but you know what? I've had some interesting cases. A lot of times I'll be like, am I being punked? But then there's been some that's like, you know, I've had a couple of guys from my past to try to, you know, spin the block. And I'm not saying I'm opposed to
it. Yeah, I was going to say, what's your advice on that?
Let me say this. So I think as a person who the block is hot.
How do they even get through? Because people have to email me.
I feel you.
Trying to get through.
I feel you. Well, I have had the same phone number since the 8th grade.
Same.
So,
wow. Well, that's why I'm heavy on, because I'm not changing it at this
point. Yeah, I'm not changing it either.
Yeah.
I have several numbers, but the main one I've had since the 8th grade. I mean, I think that there's some that's on the do not spend the block list. And then there's others where I've kind of thought in the sense of timing is one thing, right? And maturity is another. Sometimes spending the block isn't a bad thing for certain people, because I feel like that as life has progressed, there's been some ways that I've matured. There's been some ways, some things that I've seen where I'm like, you know what? I kind of like that quality in the person that was on the block, right? Maybe we needed time to grow so that we could grow together. So I think it's truly a case-by-case situation. And then I also feel like sometimes you know where your heart is, you know? Like, I know that there's, you know, there's maybe a person that it's like, okay, timing could possibly be on our side now versus when we tried years ago and probably didn't know any better, or probably, you know, was too young and it was like puppy love gone wrong. And now it's like, oh, you a big dog, you know? So it just depends. I'm a firm believer that if you decide to spin the block in any way, and if you're a person of a faith, pray on it, you know, I fast on it, you know, really evaluate what does this look like for me? So yeah. And cause honey, even trying to get to know new people is a lot.
Yeah. That's what we talk about a lot. Like the dating world is, I don't even want to.
Dumpster.
Literally.
It's a dumpster.
Basura.
So, like, a lot of times I feel like what initially a man is attracted to can sometimes be what he ends up resenting about you.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that where somebody, you know, is attracted to just that you're ambitious or that you're successful or, you know, that you're smart. And then they end up trying to play you for a fool and resenting you that they can't get one out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've had that before. Actually, a couple of times. And I know that. Well, as I've grown, I have evaluated and learned, and especially through my healing journey, that there's been times where I've brought things to the table that certain guys just weren't ready for. And I used to bash myself about that. Why can't he see? And it's like, I can't make someone be ready for what I just naturally bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is they revert back to what they're used to. Yep. And it used to make me feel like, well, dang, like, why he can't see? But it's like, if he is naturally okay with someone less than me, go be with what you used to and be happy. Because maybe you're not able to rise to an occasion that I just naturally was already at, you know?
They don't want what they're used to. Like, they want you until you... You just being you in your light makes them feel insecure. And then they got to put that darkness on you and bring you down to their level instead of, you know.
Well, a lot of times people want a dream come true, but instead they revert back to a familiar nightmare. Mm-hmm. And so with that, it's like, well, baby, I'm not going to be a nightmare. Like, I truly know that I haven't had a guy that dated me before that didn't try to come back. Every last one has tried to come back.
Same.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So it's like they know what they missed out on. But I also feel like for me, it's like, well, what have you done to better yourself? How are you healing? How are you, what seeds are you sowing into this world? You know, you can come back because maybe 2-3 people have broken your heart or what, or didn't work. But how is that an advantage to me? Like, I want to be equally yoked. I want for someone to know and understand me without me saying a word. Taking initiative, you know, being a leader. I lead all day, every day in my job. But there's, again, like I said earlier, there's an on and off switch.
Yeah.
When it's time for me to properly be a follower, I know how to do that too. And so I think that, you know, again, with some guys, if I intimidate you, then that's fine. I'm just not the one for you. Because 9 times out of 10, you're looking at what I do versus who I am. Mm-hmm. And who I am, I can confidently say that I'm a really great person. Mm-hmm. I know what I bring to the world, not just to a little table. So, and if that's too much for you, go find less. There's plenty of coupons out here.
Yeah. And that's something we've talked about before too, is like when you're a Black woman and you're educated and you're successful and you're, you know, I forget what the stats were from that episode, but if you're a period, man, woman, whatever, and you're making over 100,000 in this country, you're in a small percentile. I don't think people realize that, how small that percentage is, you know. And then another layer that makes it exponentially more difficult, in my opinion, on top of all of those other factors, is going to therapy and working on yourself, because 98% of people aren't working on themselves to that level. And so once you add that layer in, it's like the dating pool is non-existent.
It shrinks. It constantly shrinks. And then I think, you know, it depends on what's on your list. Like, some people my age are like, oh, I still don't want a man with kids and this and that. That's shrinking too, because there's a lot of baby mama, baby daddies out there. And if that's your choice, that's fine. But there's constantly shrinkage. And I think, again, finding the person that actually fuels you is what I look for. Like, at 36, if a man has a kid, okay, we can kind of, you know, figure that out. I would love to be with someone that's kidless and we experience that together, but I'm realistic. Like, I'm not 23 where, you know, folks haven't done that already. But I think that it's worth understanding that your value doesn't decrease because someone doesn't see it. And I had to learn that, because I had to learn that perhaps it's not me. Perhaps it is you.
Not everybody has good taste.
Baby, because the dollar menu is exactly not healthy.
Everybody likes caviar.
Hello, you know? Hello. I'm clocking it. I'm just saying. But again, you learn those things, because in my late 20s, early, even mid 20s, I would depict myself like, maybe I did something wrong. I resent my career. I used to say, maybe I'm a gift and a curse. And now I'm like, nah. Because if you get to know me, I could say today, I'm never going to do TV again. I'm never going to do PR again. I'm never going to be in entertainment. And then I'm just stripped away from all those what's versus who. I'm still going to have my heart. I'm still going to have my soul. I'm still going to heal. I'm still going to try to pour into you. Like, we'll be missing out.
Yeah.
Rare.
I think that's part of growing and maturing too, is realizing, and I feel like life gets a lot more peaceful when you realize that, like, 9 times out of 10, people's behavior, the way they treat you, the things they do, has nothing to do with you.
It doesn't.
If it wasn't you, it would be someone else. Like, it has everything to do with them.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And I think that just goes back to our initial thing, which is everybody's not healing. Because when you heal, there's certain things, certain wounds you won't open or try to reopen. Right. And I also think in healing, the important thing about healing is make sure you're healing so that your broken pieces don't cut innocent people. Mm. Like, that's the most unfair thing. Yeah. I've gotten cut by people that I was just trying to help. And it's like, whoa. How did I? And now I'm responsible for my own healing that they put me through.
So, oh, yeah. That's the most frustrating part is like, now why am I in it? Like, why? Yeah.
Right. How did I get here?
I'm trying to help you.
Right.
You mentioned how you journal and, you know, you have your own thoughts and quotes. Do you have a quote or a thought that you've had that you feel like people need to hear that you journaled recently?
I mean, honestly, one of my favorite quotes is stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And I think that's mentally, physically, emotionally, that's in any situation, whether it's work, whether it's friendships, whether it's, you know, you could get a call tomorrow that could change your life. And if you're not ready, they're going to go with somebody that's ready.
Yeah.
You know, so stay ready. And I think also make sure you don't have pollution around you. Like, people can be pollution. Things can be pollution. Like, you don't want that residue getting on you. Like, baby, we like to have fine perfume and fragrance. Like, a nice aroma.
Yes.
Crave me, baby. Ain't nobody craving pollution.
No, no.
Mm-mm.
No. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Suburban Black Girl podcast.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Me
too. And I hope Blake did too. And this was great.
Shout out your socials.
Yes.
For the people.
Absolutely. So my personal Instagram is Latoria_L. That's two R's. The company is Lemon Limelight Media. My website is www.lemonlimelightmedia.com. Yes, follow me. I typically follow back. Probably I didn't follow so many people back. I think I might be at a max. I guess that'd be so nice. Everybody just get a follow. You get a follow. You get a follow. Who the hell are you? Okay, you get one too. But yes, I typically follow back. I've thoroughly enjoyed y'all. Thank y'all for having me on the show. Mm-hmm. Thank you for what y'all are doing. Y'all's platform is very polished, very nice. And may God just continue to increase it in every way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate you.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Yay.